United Nations have been in Cyprus for 52 years. It so happens that I'm also 52 years, and we were born the same week, the UNFICIP mission and myself. And the UN came there because of intercommunal strife after the early days of the independent Republic of Cyprus. And then 10 years later, there was a military coup supported by the then military regime in Athens. And just after that, the Turkish invasion and the de facto division of the country into two parts. And what we're trying to do is to help the leaders, the Turkish Cypriot and the Greek Cypriot leader, to reunify the country under a federal structure for Greek Cypriots and Turkish Cypriots alike. And we have actually come quite far on that process, and I would strongly say, as the Secretary General said yesterday, much further than any previous pair of leaders in all these years have come. So we are now approaching the final stretch and the make or break moment in the Cyprus process.
So what is the current situation, and how has it evolved over the past 50 years?
Well, that's a very long story. There has been, of course, there was a major attempt in 2004, the so-called Annan Plan, which was presented to a referendum, but it got a yes in the north of Cyprus.
That's from the former Secretary General of the UN.
The former Secretary General, Kofi Annan, but it lost quite significantly in the south. In this phase, which has lasted basically the last 16 months since the two current leaders, Mr. Mustafa Kinci in the north, Mr. Nikos Anastasiades in the south, since they started, they have moved on all issues, and they have discussed all issues interdependently. And of the six chapters that encompasses the negotiation track, four are largely done. And the two last ones, which are widely seen to be the more difficult ones, have been open for discussion, even if we haven't finally negotiated them. So we are in a very advanced stage. At the same time, I need to be honest saying that there are outstanding issues. And what I detect now is I recognize the typical nervousness of the last mile, because in any peace process, particularly those that work, we have the experience that when you come to the crux of the matter, the really important accommodations that have to be made, both sides feel the pressure of time. And from the UN side, we are insisting that we will not put pressure on them. It is not our problem, it's their problem. We are there to assist in overcoming their issue. The process has to be leader-led. It has to be owned by the Cypriots themselves. But our job is to help them, facilitate, and I would also say coordinate the overall international effort, because it's not only us, the United Nations, it's also the European Union, of which the future United Cyprus will be a member state, for instance. It's the neighboring states, Greece and Turkey, who have their stake in this because they are, together with the United Kingdom, guarantors. So the international effort is coordinated through the UN. And my job now, together with the Secretary General, is to orchestrate all these different pieces so that we can achieve the noble goal of settlement.
What was the sort of thing that broke the logjam to get us to where we are now, which you say is really quite close to a final deal?
We have two leaders who actually are declared settlement supporters and who are working in earnest with each other as partners to solve this. Their challenge is that on both sides, there is a number of people who are, to put it very diplomatically, less enthusiastic about the prospect of a settlement. So it's not enough for these two leaders to agree with each other. They also have to bring along a majority of each side. And in my daily interaction with the leaders, I also recognize and empathize with their constant sense that I have to be able to convince my community to vote yes, because there was a referendum last time, there will be a referendum again, and history has proven that you don't know the outcome of a referendum, and they want to be secure.
Is there still an important role for the UN to play here?
This is a question that we should ask to the Cypriots, but I do ask the Cypriots, and we consistently get the message that they want us, they need us to be the facilitator. They don't want us to run the show, and I'm extremely adamant to communicate and behave as somebody who is there to assist the leaders in their process. But we, you know, the UN controls the buffer zone. We have our meetings in the buffer zone. We facilitate not only the meetings between the leaders and their negotiating teams, but a vast array of 16 working groups, five technical committees on all possible issues. So basically, almost all the formal communication between North and South happens through the UN, not only the search for a settlement, but also in the daily basis.
The Cypriot president told the General Assembly here at the UN recently that he thought that the deal could be done by the end of the year. Is that realistic?
Absolutely. It's ambitious, but feasible. And what I mean by that, it is ambitious, but ambitious as a sportsman ready to win the race. He can win. He just have to put all his efforts or her effort. The main issue is a sustained will that we manage to use the next months in order to orchestrate the sequence of things so that that call can be held.
Is there a real danger that the last 50 years could be for nothing and that we could face going back to the status quo as it was in 1974, a position of conflict between the two communities?
On the first part of that question, I would say, yes, there is definitely a risk that we lose what we now have achieved. And if, because we have, in a sense, arrived at the plateau from which you can either go to a solution or you'll have a downward spiral. I wouldn't say conflict, as in a violent physical conflict, but I think it's clear for all of us, and that's not only me saying it, that's well known by the people who are dealing with this on both sides, that the alternative is not any longer status quo. It's not just a stable, safe status quo that will continue forever. In a sense, the Cypriots have been living in a state of exception. They have quite correctly stated, both the North and the South, that the current situation is unacceptable and must be overcome. And I would be very worried if people think that they can just cool down this and there will be a new chance in 5 or 10 years. This is in no way to suggest that I know what the future will look like, but my sense and my own experience with international relations suggests that losing this opportunity is not good for you, neither if you're a Cypriot or if you are somebody trying to be helpful in the neighborhood. So the region needs this, and it's so close that to miss this opportunity would be a historic failure.